He didn't come to the ministry often, but the client had called him in. The girl two desks away from Ming had a computer problem, and he was the NEC rep for the ministry offices. It turned out to be a minor problem. Ming hadn't been in sight when he'd come in. With a smile and a polite Japanese bow, he'd made his way to the door when the door to the inner office opened and Ming came out with Minister Fang behind her.
"Oh, hello, Nomura-san," Ming said in surprise.
"Hello, Comrade Ming. Your computer operates properly?"
"Oh, yes. You are well settled into Beijing now?"
"Yes, thank you. I am."
"You should try Chinese food instead of sticking to the food of your homeland. Though I admit I have developed a taste lately for Japanese sausage," she told him,
and everyone else in the room. For his part, Chester Nomura felt his heart not so much skip a beat as stop entirely for about 10 seconds. "Ah, yes. It can be very tasty." Ming nodded and went back to work. Nomura bowed politely to the office and made his departure. Sweet Jesus. But that was one of the problems with agents. They sometimes got off on their work. That's when he realized why it had happened. Ming loved him. Ming had just consecrated their relationship by risking her life in front of her minister and her co-workers. Carl Hitch, the U.S. ambassador to the People's Republic, was there for the opening ceremony. He was a career Foreign Service officer. It was all new for Mark Gant, however. The room was impressive, like the boardroom of a major corporation. It had high ceilings and fabric-covered walls, Chinese silk, in this case, red, of course. "It is your first time in Beijing?" some minor official asked. Gant turned to look down at the little guy. "Yes, it is."
"So, you are not from the American State Department?"
"No, I'm in the Department of the Treasury."
"Ah, then you are from the trading business."
"Oh, yes. I've been a capitalist all my life. So has Secretary Winston, and so has our president, you know." It was then that Zhu Kunpiao swept in. Zhu was General Secretary of the Communist Party of the People's Republic of China and Chairman of the Chinese Politburo, though referred to in the media as the country's premier. He was a man of 71 years, one of the second generation of Chinese leaders. The Long March survivors had long since died out. The new crop of leaders accepted communism as truly as other men believed in God. They looked out at a world that they pretended to understand and to which they felt superior for no better reason than their skin and their language. And they suffered from their own illusions. Su was a man of average everything, height, weight, eyes, and face, and intellect, some said. "Comrade Premier," Rutledge said in greeting, holding out his hand, which the Chinaman took. "Mr. Rutledge, welcome to Beijing," the Politburo chief raised his glass. "I drink to successful and cordial negotiations." Rutledge smiled and hoisted his glass. "As do I, sir." The party broke up, and the Americans headed back to the embassy. Bacon and eggs, toast and hash brown potatoes, plus some Colombian bean coffee. Gant was Jewish but not observant, and he loved his bacon. Rutledge, Gant saw, was at the head of the table chatting amiably with Ambassador Hitch. Then a more ruffled employee of the embassy came in with a manila folder whose borders were lined with striped red and white tape. This he handed to Ambassador Hitch, who opened it at once. Gant realized it was classified material. "Mark," Rutledge waved Gant over. Ambassador Hitch made room for Gant to sit down. "Mark, this just came in from Washington. What do you make of these foreign exchange figures?"
"Damn, they're that low? What have they been pissing their money away on?"
"Mainly military stuff, so I am told," Ambassador Hitch replied. "What does this mean, Mark?"
"These people don't live in the real world, Cliff. They know that the money comes from their trade imbalance with the United States, and it appears that they believe the imbalance to be something they can dictate because of who they are. They think the rest of the world owes it to them. People who think this way do not understand that negotiations mean give and take. It's like what Hitler must have thought at Munich. I want, you give, and then I'm happy."
"Do they appreciate how serious their position is?" Rutledge asked.
Yes and no. Yes, they know they need the hard currency to do business. No, they think they can continue this way indefinitely, that an imbalance is natural in their case because... Because why? Because they think they're a fucking master race? Gant asked. Ambassador Hitch nodded. It's called the Middle Kingdom Complex. Yes, Mr. Gant, they really do think of themselves in those terms, and someday that will be their downfall. Cliff, you're going to have an interesting day. They should be eating breakfast right about now, Secretary Adler said over his Hennessy in the East Room. That stuff we got from Mary Pat ought to help Rutledge. I'm glad that Gant guy is there to translate it for him. Cliff is going to have a lively day while we sleep off the food and the booze, Jack. I hate this job, Swordsman observed with a friendly smile at his Secretary of State. I know. That's probably why you're doing it pretty well. God protect us all from somebody who wants to hold high public office. Look at it this way. When you do your memoirs, you'll get a great advance from your publisher. The accidental president. Scott, I'll settle for working in my golf game. Who spoke the magic word? Vice President Jackson asked as he joined the conversation. Jack, this is my father. His plane was late and he missed the receiving line. Reverend Jackson, we finally meet. Jack took the hand of the elderly black minister. For the inauguration, he'd been in the hospital.
Robbie's told me a lot of good things about you.
Your son is a fighter pilot, sir, and they exaggerate a lot. The minister had a good laugh.
Oh, that I know, Mr. President, that I know.
They started talking over in Beijing yet? Robbie asked, checking his watch. Another half hour or so, Adler replied. It's going to be interesting, he added, referring to the Sorge material. I believe it, Vice President Jackson agreed. You know, it's hard to love those people.
Robbie, you are not allowed to say such things, his father retorted. I have a friend in Beijing.
Oh?
Yes, Reverend Yu Fa An, a fine Baptist preacher, educated at Oral Roberts University. My friend Jerry Patterson went to school with him.
Tough place to be a priest or minister, I guess, Ryan observed.